Hello, lovely listeners. On today's episode, we talk Overwatch 2, Diablo 4, Terry Bogard in Smash, Death Stranding, and Apple Arcade. You're listening to Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
I'm Jose.
And I'm Rob. And as always, well, first off, Joey has a night off. And as always, we will go into what we have been playing.
Yes, and we're back.
And we will start. Yes, we are back.
Yes, we are back. And yes, we're going to start
a little hiatus.
Yes, we have been.
I have not been playing anything more than Destiny. But yeah, let's just get into what we have been playing.
Let's get into what I've been playing.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah. No, so I've actually been playing a lot of things. I'm always constantly rotating, as you guys know. So, the first thing that I do want to start off with is Devil May Cry 5. So, finally, got to sit down here with Devil May Cry 5, and I'm in love that it's a game. And it knows it's a game, because this thing wouldn't, you know, if this was like taken seriously, it just wouldn't fly. So I love that about Devil May Cry 5. It's bringing back the game, like for me, because I've been playing like not serious things, but I guess I've been playing a lot of story based things, like The Last of Us, like Remastered. I was playing a little bit of that here. Astral Chain. I mean, that doesn't count because that's gamey, but yeah, this is just like balled off the wall. You know, it's Devil May Cry. And yeah, it reminds me so much of the thing I love about games, the creativity, with the mechanics and, just controlling its skill pretty much, because you can make things look so cool. Devil May Cry 5. Now, I do like going into it because I played the demo here. I know we talked about it previously before, you know, when the game was coming out, that you know, everything is fine and dandy. One thing I noticed, and this it sucks so much, because it's like, for completionists, it's a very bad idea that they even thought of that. But the red souls, the currency in the game, the currency in the game, there's actually microtransactions for it, and the game gives you a weapon that uses those red orbs and souls, which is kind of like, okay, why even put this weapon in the game? This actually should have been, you know, this shouldn't have been a thing in the first place. Like, why do that? And on top of that, it makes the actual upgrades, in terms of like the moves that you get, it makes them much harder to get, especially with that weapon that you throw pretty much red orbs out to damage the enemies. But yeah, that's the one thing there where I'm like, Capcom, like, really? This is not Street Fighter V, where, you know, you could choose and you can nickel and dime people here. Well, they shouldn't be nickel and diming people at all. But yeah, that was like the only like what moment I was like, really? Is this what you're gonna do here? Yeah, so it makes a lot of things like harder to unlock, and just the actual currency is much harder to get too in the game. So they really thought out to screw us in just in general. Like, I'm actually disappointed in that, because it makes completing, for people who like to do like completionist runs, it makes it much harder for them. And not in a way where, like, you know, the difficulty is harder. It's just that it's just tied by bullshit mechanics there. But I love the way the game looks. I love how it feels. So yeah, I've been playing that. And I also been playing more Let's Go Pikachu. So more Pokemon. I'm getting ready here for the 15th. I'm so ready. even though I was against, like, you know, the whole Pokédex thing. Dexgate.
calling it Dexit, which is,
yes, Dexit. There we go.
I can't even process how stupid that is.
Yeah,
Dexit. I have opinions, but anyway, go.
Yeah. No. It definitely cuts right into that here. No, but you know, well, luckily, the first gen is my favorite gen, and we're gonna be able to transfer all these. That's what I hear. We're gonna be able to transfer all of these into Sword and Shield. I hope. You see, I haven't looked into it as much, but I just started playing it. But I know I'm gonna be able to transfer some, if any, into Sword and Shield. But yeah, I've been playing that very, very briefly and just sporadic, and been trying to get the original starting three, the starters. I'm trying to get them all to their evolved form. Obviously, the one that I got there first, no, it's not Charizard. I got Venusaur, so that's the first one. Now I have to work on Charizard and Blastoise now. But you know what, like going through Let's Go and just playing it, the actual catching mechanic, again, I always mentioned that I loved it. I just wish it was faster there to get more XP. I'd rather do more fights for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, how they have it set up is, like, you get more XP if you do
multiple catches. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is kind of annoying, because it's like, I don't want to catch, like, 50 Caterpies in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, like, you have to avoid everything else.
And that's the thing.
Annoying. Like, it makes sense, but like, I don't know. It felt wholly unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing there. And I know Sword and Shield kind of gives you the option for both. So that's the lesson that they learned from this. Awesome, because that works great for me. But yeah, just Pokemon, just getting ready for Sword and Shield. I can't wait now. I'm getting Shield. I'm sorry, Sword fans, but yeah, I'm getting Shield. It just, to me, it just looks more knightly and more honor based. It just looks cool. I don't know. It just looks better.
Sure. I mean, I'm technically getting both, because I'm probably gonna pick up that dual pack. I don't know why, because I always do that. I play through one game, I try to play the other game, and then I stop. Like, not even that far, like, just a few hours in. But now I'll probably play Sword first. I know there's a reason why I wanted to play Sword. Well, I'd say the legendary.
Well, Sirfetch'd.
Cool, 'cause I like the dog with the what?
Sirfetch'd.
Oh, yeah, Sirfetch'd. There's another reason, too. Like, I was going to get it already, and then they announced Sirfetch'd. But I don't remember. I think Shield has Galarian Ponyta anyway.
Yeah, and Rapidash, yeah.
So, like, yeah, that's fine. You get
we could trade, yes. We could always trade, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, like, and that's a good thing about, like, all of the Pokemon games post, what, Generation 4? Because since they've had world trading, like, getting one version means, like, you can easily get any other Pokemon that you don't have that you want. So it's not a difficult thing to do.
I mean, and finally,
that's actually a good thing.
Yeah, and finally, Nintendo's with the times. So
I wouldn't say Nintendo's with the times. It was more. That's more of a Game Freak thing.
Yes, the Pokemon Company. Yeah.
Something that. And that's definitely something that makes sense. And I mean, they've had that around since the DS, so it's been forever. But it's great that they have that kind of stuff. I do miss the Wi-Fi events that they had. But how they have it now is a little bit better. Because they have the, what is it? I have it on my phone. Let me see. It is...
Is it like the location where you have to go to the...
Yeah, you can still go to the location, but you don't have to bring your system with you, which is good, because it's kind of like, you know, I don't know, it just seemed dorky to bring in your, like, 3DS to GameStop, just to be close enough to, like, I forget what it's called, but, like, close enough to, like, the device that, like, sends out the code, or sends out the info so you can grab whatever it... they're having, and it's better than, because they were giving out codes for a while too at GameStop, which sucks, because like if you don't go there like the day of, then they're out of codes, and it's a bitch.
It's a, yeah, it's a whole big
you wanted. Yeah.
Fiasco, and the, you know, it's rare, the code is rare, and all this like BS, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, I just wanted that one for either completion or, you know, something. Oh, but it's called Pokemon Pass, where it's kind of like it uses the GPS on your phone, and you basically, uses the GPS on your phone, you go there, and then you activate it, I guess, and then it gives you a code automatically, so... Like, you don't have to bring anything more than your phone, and odds are, like, if you go to, like, GameStop or Target or whatever, like, you're gonna have your phone on you. Or even Best Buy. You're gonna have your phone on you, so it's easier to just, like, go in and grab what you need, and then, you know, when you get home, put in the code. So, like, I like that aspect a little bit better. Like, if you're gonna force people to go to retail stores to get Pokemon, I feel like that's the best bet. Especially since I'm sure most people are playing Pokemon Go anyway.
So. Well, to even make that more extreme, so the Pokeball that I got with Let's Go, that should actually be like a pass too in that sense, because it's small enough, like, you know, to carry. And
yeah, but it uses like the Pokemon Pass uses the GPS on your phone. It would be nice that if it would automatically pick up where you are and then like
yeah and hold up yeah and like
download it to the
ball the control ball. Yeah, the Pokeball, yeah.
But I mean, ideally what you're supposed to do is like use it and then as you walk around, because I got one too, because I ended up getting the Fancy Pants Let's Go Switch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That had the Pikachu and Eevee one, and it came with the Pokeball. And I don't want to say I've barely used it, but I've barely used it.
I only used it for the Mew I got inside of it.
Yeah, I got the Mew, but I haven't actually gotten the Mew in the game, because I haven't played it, because I had gotten Hey You Pikachu, not Hey You Pikachu, Let's Go Pikachu.
I'm like, whoa, that Christmas. Game is old. You Pikachu, like, whoa.
And then, yeah.
Wait, what's the remaster?
And, like, I ended up selling it, like, a few months afterwards, because I needed the cash. And then, so when I got this, I got it digitally, and so I lost my save, which is fine. It's not a big deal. But I haven't played enough on this playthrough to where I could pick up Mew again. So that's kind of annoying. The fact that you can't just immediately get the Pokemon, you have to, like, go so far in the story. Because I think I have the Mew, and, Target was having a thing back in, like, June, where if you had Let's Go Pikachu, you'd get a shiny Eevee, and if you had Let's Go Eevee, you'd get a shiny Pikachu. But I haven't. I got the code for it, and technically it's activated on my game. But I haven't gotten far enough in the game to get the stupid
to actually unlock it. Yeah.
Yeah. Son of a bitch. I just want Mew. That's all I want. I just want Mew to follow me. That is all. Wait, no. I did get Mew. Now that I think about it, I did get Mew. He is following me. Forgot about that. Never mind.
Yeah.
My rant kind of makes sense still, because like if you're transferring from the Pokemon Go, you still have to go to, I think, Celadon City. Not Celadon, Saffron.
You see, I don't even remember. It's been a little while. I'm like already further in now. Like I don't even remember. I'm just like further on in. And I just keep picking it up in like short bursts, so it's definitely doing its job, and I can't wait for Sword and Shield. Well, Shield. So I can't wait for Shield.
Well, I mean, still, same
thing. I'm hating. I can't wait for Shield. Being petty. But that's all I've been playing there. In terms of like, this so long, cause I've been going, back and forth with other stuff there, but like, these are like the major ones. And also I started, DC Universe on the Switch, which is pretty impressive Switch. Right. Yeah, it's pretty impressive for the Switch. I remember, you know, buying it on the PS3 when it first came out. So, yeah, it's just pretty impressive seeing it on, like, playing it handheld. Just been playing just all of that there. Again, Devil May Cry being the one I've been playing longer. Hopefully I end it before Death Stranding. So that's what I'm hoping. So we'll see. We'll see.
Devil May Cry, so it shouldn't be a very long game.
Yes, we'll see. So, what have you been playing? Because I've been playing all these like things in between.
I've pretty much only been playing just mostly Destiny. This week they have the Festival of the Lost, which is their spoopy Halloween-y event, which was last week and this week. So, like, 1 week thematically made sense, and another week didn't. And it's got, like, cool little things. They have, like, this little special... And I kind of like how they're doing this. Like, they have a special little, activity, I guess you could say, where it's, like, a forest, and you have to... It's what is it? It's the Endless Forest from Mercury, but it's darkened. You can only see so far. And after a certain point, and there's like branches. Like basically you have to like, you go so far, you fight a boss, start over, you go so far, fight another boss. And there's up to 9. But like at a certain point per branch, you come in, there's a hive that you can't kill that shows up that just like one-shots you. And, he has a sword and he just like swipes at you and you're dead. He's immune to anything, so you can't attack him.
So what's the point? You have to run?
Because it took me a while to realize, like, why, am I doing something wrong? And then I was like, no, he's supposed to be like a slasher movie villain where he just like chases you, and he walks slowly too. So he's supposed to like just chase you and then kill you. And eventually, like, one of the boss fights is you fight him. But I think it's a little cool.
That sounds like a great event, I guess.
I mean, it's kind of fun. It's not really anything like... At the end of last season, or the end of year 2 stuff, they had the... The EAZ, which is Earth's Aerial Zone, which was basically like a little small map where you had to fight a few waves of enemies. It was kind of cool, but it's pretty much like once you do it a few times, that's it. And the good part about that, though, is like it's only there for a little while. It's not like an ongoing thing. And the same thing with this. Like it seems like it's just like 2 weeks and then that's it. And then they'll probably have some other stuff. And they have a lot of like spoopy cosmetics or whatever. I did buy a few, but nothing with like actual money. I used Bright Dust, so I had to get the I think it's like a dinosaur, like maybe a pterodactyl, or it could be a bat ship, And then, because it's skeletal, so that's why I'm not too sure. And then, for your ghost, there's a projection of a guided projection of a jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, I was just about to say that would have been perfect, but they did it. Yeah, so
Did what?
The jack-o'-lantern. I was just about to
well,
say
they
that.
they do have a jack-o'-lantern ghost. Like, you can buy that. Like, that they sell that with silver, but I'm like, I'm not gonna spend any actual money on it. Especially since with the ghosts, I don't like how they have that set up. Just because, like, there are some cool looking ghosts, but they don't give you any good perks. So it's like, well, I don't even need those. So I stick with the same one I have. But yeah, no, I guess I haven't really been mentioning, like, since we haven't been recording, Shadowkeep, which was the latest expansion to Destiny, released, and it's been like pretty fun so far. It seems like they have been adding a lot of regular content. Last week they had just added a new exotic quest for season pass holders. The season passes are different this go around, which I kind of like. Basically, is season pass you get like kind of like Fortnite, I guess,
with the season
and their
passes,
battle
yeah,
pass.
With the battle passes, yeah. Everybody's turning into that model.
Yeah, and I kind of like this because it doesn't. Only thing it's really doing is, like, if you have the season pass, you automatically get access to certain exotic quests and weapons. Like, there was one, Leviathan's Breath, which is basically only available to season pass holders. And you don't have to be a certain level or anything. It's just, like, once you have it, you can go for it. But what the season pass does is, like, as you, you know, do quests and dungeons and, you know, anything that gives you experience, instead of, like, an actual regular, like, you know, level 1, level 2 for your character, the expansion pass, or the season pass, has, you know, levels, and once you get to a certain level, not even, like, a specific level, like, every level, you'll be getting something.
You see, I wish...
Not all great.
I wish that existed
some
for
of it's trash.
Final Fantasy XI. That...
Oh yeah!
Like I wish that existed in that way, where every level that you're in, you get something, and it reminds me just how hard Final Fantasy XI was. I used to be a huge player, an avid fan of Final Fantasy XI, and it was fun, but there was just a lot of times there where it would be a waste of time. Well, no, not really. I wouldn't say a waste of time, but it just required so much time that, you know, I wish that sort of a pass existed. Even though Final Fantasy XI had expansions, it didn't. All the expansions there, you had to be like a certain level to move forward on the expansions. Especially the second expansion, Chains of Promethea. That one in specific, you had to be specific levels for every sort of quest, which kind of made it hard if you weren't that level and you didn't get any benefit, like in terms of the expansion itself. So I wish MMOs like use that, like sort of like battle pass style.
Well, like the good part is, like, you know, they kind of help, like, Destiny's been kind of good about, like, pushing you up a little bit, in terms of, like, getting your characters closer to the end game and kind of cutting out some of the monotony and the repetitive stuff for multiple characters. Like, once you got to, like, power level 900, you can basically give another one of your characters a boost to 900. So you don't have to, like, go through everything again. I've basically only been playing, like, one character. Like, I've made three characters. One that was still super early in, like, the Destiny 2's original campaign. One that was just up to Forsaken, like, last year's expansion. And then, like I said, my Warlock, which I've been playing now. So, like, I like how it'll let you... Like, they'll kind of, like, push you up a little bit. When I think when I was getting back into Destiny, like there was a few quests that kind of pushed me along to get me to where I need to. Because like when I stopped playing, I was at like power level, I think maybe 500 something. And then at the time, I think the level cap was like 720. And so like the game was kind of like, you know, here's a few like, you know, blues and greens to kind of get you up to that level. And then like once you get to that level, like as you play the game will start dropping better equipment that's higher level and kind of keep you going up. So I thought that was good.
And that's a good aspect because just the way Bungie created just the game in general, because I feel like a lot of games, when they do things like that in terms of accessibility, they also drop the difficulty as well. When things like that are done, and
I don't know about like early game stuff. Maybe they didn't make it a lot easier, but I mean the game has basically been the same since I played. It's not any more difficult or any easier. It's the difficulty is basically the same.
Yeah. And that's great. But I feel like other games, like, you know, I mentioned Final Fantasy XI. Final Fantasy XI did great because it was so hard. Like, it was, I don't know if it was purposely hard, but there were just some things you just couldn't do. As time went on, things finally got added to make things easier. But I love that Destiny gives you all the options, like right then and there from the jump. It gets you involved with different classes. I actually love that. Comparing it to Final Fantasy XIV, because I feel like Final Fantasy XIV, they made it so much solo based that you actually lose difficulty in an MMO like that. Being
I like that because I that was one thing I didn't like about that's what I liked about WoW that I didn't like about Final Fantasy XI is like with XI, you could play to a certain like point, and after that, if you try to solo, you were fucked. Like you couldn't solo; you had to team up. And I'm very much an anti-social gamer, even though I've been playing. I play MMOs and, like, fucking Destiny, which are super social games, but I can still enjoy a majority of the content by myself.
But here,
or, like, I can easily join in with other people with matchmaking, stuff like that.
Yeah. And I get that. And I do get that. But the thing I like about the teamwork aspect is that it really created different experiences. Like, now I know everything, all MMOs are geared towards solo play. That's for sure. Like, for sure. And like I mentioned, Destiny, I guess you could put in the same boat there where it's giving you all those accessibility options there, but it's not dropping the difficulty in that sense. I mean, the same could be said about Final Fantasy XIV. But in an MMO, Final Fantasy XI, like, taught me to love those moments there, being able to team up with other people, it being like the hardest mission ever for just certain things, because it actually made me appreciate just the experience that I was having.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was plenty of times there where, you know, like your character just wasn't a high level. You had to find a team. It took a while to find a team, but once you freaking did it, you did it and you felt like a boss. I'm doing it. So that's what I appreciate there about Final Fantasy XI. Just, it was just so awkward. It was just very different, and compared to the scope of MMOs now, you know, it was just very different in that sense. And again, that's why I love Destiny's approach with just how accessible it is. But it also is a weakness, like for Final Fantasy XIV, that's a weakness as well, because I would rather play Final Fantasy XI than XIV because of that. And even now, Final Fantasy XI has all these new accessibility options in that sense, so you could get started with the game. But yeah, I barely care about Final Fantasy XIV, even though a lot of people love it. I get it, but But yeah, yeah, I love all those accessibility things in Destiny, the way they're presented like that.
Oh yeah, like it is, because it does seem like they're trying to. I mean, obviously, not everything is great. You know, not everything will be great. Just, you know, the nature of things. But the fact that they're actually trying to make things, I don't want to say necessarily make things their own, but like kind of, you know, listen to like the community and work that way. But yeah, like Destiny's been offering like a lot of cool stuff, and I'm legitimately surprised that I've been consistently playing, you know, Destiny this long. Because like because I played with on Destiny 1, I played like year 1, like when it first came out, and then a little bit at the end of year 1, and then nothing else. And then with Destiny 2, since it came out on PC, I'm like, hell yeah, I want to get on PC. And I think that's kind of helped me play it more, because with PC it's a little bit easier to access. I can just kind of like, you know, load it up and I'm good. And I've been playing it regularly since. Like, since I picked it up.
Oh, no.
I picked it up again a little bit last year, right before Forsaken came out, and a little bit after, but then I stopped.
We're gonna have to do it
again this year.
We're gonna have to do an intervention. Same with Joey.
Yeah, we're Overwatch. Probably.
We're gonna have to do, like, an intervention to pull you from that game.
Like, okay, yeah, because Destiny 2 came out October 1st, so it's a little over a month now, and I've played 91 hours. That's just since October 1st. That's not including anything I've played prior. Since Battle.net, or Blizzard, whatever, their launcher, wasn't keeping track of hours played like Steam does, yeah, 91 hours. That is now, I think, my number one played game on Steam in terms of hours? Let me see.
I have to get the banners ready.
The
banners
beats
ready.
My previous game, because like my previous game on record on Steam is the most hours played was Dark Souls 3 with 90 hours, and that beat, and Destiny 2 beats it, by 2 hours. So, I mean, yeah,
that's
it's fun. Yeah. Well, and it's also nice too, because like with Destiny, like how I have it set up is like I can go in, do like a few things, and then just like jump back out. Like, it's very
time friendly.
A lot of the content is bite sized, so you just jump in and just like, you know, I'm gonna do a few quick matches of this, or I'm gonna, you know, do this quick quest thing, and then you're done. I say that, and last Sunday I was doing a raid with some people, and it took us 6 hours.
Yeah,
normal. That's not normal for a raid, and I think all of us just wanted to have it finished. Like, I wasn't expecting it to go on that long. No one was expecting it to go on long. I've done that raid before, like, when I first did it, and I think it maybe took us, like, two and a half hours. But again, it was just different people playing.
Yeah, we definitely have to pull out the banner and the cake, the intervention cake, and we have to sit you down. We have to sit you down here and get maybe. to get to other games.
I think I've probably spent more money on Overwatch stuff than I have on Destiny stuff. I think with Destiny, I maybe have spent like $20. And then I think with Overwatch, I maybe spent like $20, $25. Maybe like $40, because I bought that Mercy skin for the breast cancer awareness. But yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about Overwatch here, so.
Yeah.
It's coming up.
But it's coming up. But I will also say, like, I did play a little bit. I mostly beat Link's Awakening. I'm at the 7th dungeon, and it's such a bullshit dungeon. It's the Eagle Tower. Like, I've been like wandering around for like an hour and a half, I think, just trying to figure out what I know what to do next. I have like the boss key, but I can't figure out how to get back to the boss door. I got there by accident once, and I can't figure out how to get back there. So, I feel like once I get that, then I'll just finish it. Still haven't finished River City Girls. It was fun, but like I kind of just moved on. And I did buy Final Fantasy VII on the Switch because I want to replay it before a remake comes out, but we'll see what happens. I don't know. Destiny has kind of been taking up most of my time. Oh, and I did play the first 20 minutes of Outer Worlds, and those 20 minutes were great. I'll get back to it at some point.
We'll see.
Probably.
We'll see next time.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get you on that one.
Oh no,
because
by the time we record next, I absolutely won't be playing more Outer Worlds, but I will at some point. Like maybe like in December. It's just like right now is not a good time.
Yeah, there's definitely
especially
too many things.
Especially since Pokemon's coming out next.
Yeah, there's too many. There's way too
but
many.
But anyway,
things. Yes,
that is way more than enough of what we've been playing.
We had to
Let
do a little
us
housekeeping
go into
though, so.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
So yeah, let's talk about the freshest of the fresh news. Well, not really fresh. So Sakurai showed off at a 48-ish minute showcase for Terry Bogard in Smash, and he looks fucking amazing. I played one match before we recorded, and I have to get used to him. Like I feel like I
oh crap, he's out now. You see, I watched the whole thing.
He is out now.
Yeah.
I do love Nintendo's like, or at least you know, with Sakurai and like how they've been doing like the characters, especially like the last two.
Look at
where it's just like you have a showcase. Like this is you know what to expect. Oh hey, by the way, it's out now.
Look at that. It flew over my head. Like it literally flew over my head that it
oh,
was
yeah.
out now. Like
no,
I watched, you know, we put the gameplay demonstration there with Terry Bogard on the site. I watched a majority of that direct and I didn't know it was out now. Look at that.
Yeah.
Flew
like,
right
I think
over
it
my head.
Just kind of mentioned, like, I think it was mentioned at the end, I forget. But yeah, like, it broke him down pretty well. I feel better playing Terry than I did either Hero or Joker. Like, I appreciate that they're completely new mechanics. I just don't think I understand, like, those mechanics will sink in with me. But with Terry, since he's kind of a fighting game character, is a little bit easier for me to process.
I mean, Smash.
So there's that.
Smash only has 135 characters, like it. So there's a lot to choose from. So.
Yeah, and it's like there's lots of playstyles. So I mean, obviously not everything has to cater to me. Obviously they didn't show off the fifth fighter, which a lot of people were expecting because it said it was a 45 minute. You know, showcase, so people were thinking, oh man, they're going to show off other stuff. No, Sakurai just really, really, and you could tell he really, really loves King of Fighters. And so, like, they basically showed off a lot of stuff on it. Just how I don't want to say versatile, but, like, how much different things he can do. Like, he has the same kind of command inputs that, not the exact same, but he can also do command inputs like Ken and Ryu.
Yeah. And they add more damage there to the move. So, and there's visual cues to them, just like Ken and Ryu. Mm-hmm. So they always, what I like about Smash is everything is done justice to its most polished form. That's what I love about, just bringing in all these new characters and, you know, all these reveals that, even though you're like not excited for who they reveal sometimes, you're like, wow, they did a real good job. Like I might play with him, like just because they did a good job, even though I don't like fancy the character. So
yeah, and that's, I mean, mostly how I felt with the Fighter's Pass. It's like Joker, he seemed interesting at first because it was kind of like, whoa, especially at the Game Awards when they teased him. It was like, whoa. And I like the stage, just kind of mostly not interested in his gameplay. Same thing, kind of with the hero, with Hero from Dragon Quest, like, conceptually, I love it. In practice, not so much. Banjo and Kazooie, fine. I have to play with them a little bit more. But Terry, like, I it's weird. I haven't had this urge to kind of, like, learn more of how to properly use a character in Smash before. It's just, I usually will pick one that I feel pretty confident with. Not confident, but, like, you know, I like playing as, and I'll just kind of use that character a lot. But with Terry, it's kind of, I kind of want to learn more, like, what else to do. So that's kind of cool. My prediction is we'll get the fifth DLC character announced at the Game Awards.
I wonder
kind
who.
Kind of bring everything full circle.
Yes, I wonder who.
There's, the funny thing is, like, there's been so many rumors, and none of them have been really correct.
Yeah.
Except for Banjo-Kazooie, but I think that was more of just, like, I don't want to say trolling, but people kind of, like,
it's going to happen.
Happening.
Yeah, it's going to happen, yeah.
But I don't think, I think people were wanting it to happen, and less actually expecting it to happen. Yeah, because no one expected, I mean, obviously, like, a Dragon Quest character makes sense. No one expected Joker. Harry,
I mean,
I wouldn't have expected Terry.
I,
like, he makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, he,
like,
makes,
he's a huge SNK.
Yeah,
character.
He makes sense. Like, I thought Athena was gonna make it because the ratio between just all the females and the males. That's mm-hmm. That's why I thought Athena, but I'm guessing the next character is going to be female, which is great.
No,
because it's gonna
I, like,
be diverse.
It does need to be a female character, but I don't expect it to be a female character.
We'll see. We'll definitely see with that. Yeah,
I'm still like, the characters that I want for Fighter number 5 are, and the reason I'm saying a few of these is because they were in leaks that obviously have been proven false, but I still kind of want them. You know, Ryu Hayabusa was actually good. I feel like is a good choice. What is it? Doom Slayer or Doom Guy from Doom?
Yeah, Doom Slayer. That's
I
the one
think
I
that
hear.
Would be kind of fun.
I think
that's what a lot of people want.
That's kind of generic,
I don't know if
though.
It'll
like, honestly, I think it's generic.
He is kind of generic.
Yeah,
but, like,
I'd rather Ryu Hayabusa.
He's much, but he, but it's still kind of an iconic character.
Doom Slayer is like Zeus to me, in like PlayStation Battle Royale. That's what Doom Slayer is to me. He's just very generic. He's like,
Zeus?
Yeah, for PlayStation's All Stars Battle Royale.
Zeus was in.
Yes, yes, he was. He was DLC.
Oh, okay. I think I got like two DLC characters, then I stopped playing that game.
Yeah, he was DLC, and Doom Slayer feels like that character. Just so generic, and there's no charm to him. There's like no charm at all. So I'd rather see Ryu Hayabusa.
There's charm to him. They gave him charm in Doom 2016 because a lot of it was just simple animations, and I think they can get that across. But I do see how it would be difficult to properly give him a personality in something like Smash Brothers.
Yeah,
I still kind of want him in there because like Doom's been such a huge influence on the industry as a whole. I kind of want him in there. But I mean, like, it'd be awesome if like Lara Croft showed up.
That would be cool. But it would have to be old school Lara Croft.
No, it would be newer. I mean, that's kind of how they're going. I'm gonna say this. I'm 100% disappointed that Terry did not get his Garo costume.
DLC. Don't worry.
They have not had DLC costumes for anyone, and that is fucking straight up bullshit that he does not have his Mark of the Wolves outfit.
Oh, it'll
that's
happen.
Straight up bullshit.
No worry.
I think everyone was saying that like it was gonna happen, and it didn't fucking happen. Bullshit.
Don't worry, it's gonna happen. DLC. money
no.
bags.
It's gonna happen. But yeah, no, like the fighter pack number 4 is like straight up like filled with content because like you have like the new stage. the King of Fighters arena, which has guests showing up depending on the song that plays, which is cool. And they have like 50 fucking songs, and not just King of Fighters songs or Fatal Fury songs. There's like Metal Slug, Psycho Soldier, I think a few others, Art of Fighting and stuff like that. So like it's fucking ridiculous. And like Sakurai was saying that like he went to SNK, he's like, hey, we would like these songs. They're like, okay, fine, all of them. Which leads me to believe like he had like a list of like, you know, 40 or 50 songs for Cloud, and Square Enix was like, you can have two.
Well,
like, fuck you.
Well, that's the thing, you know, they're protecting their, pretty much protecting their character in that sense, or their music and their vault. So yeah, I kind of understand it, but yeah, it's kind of like a fuck you to the consumer, I guess. Well,
I mean,
they don't owe anything.
I'm not saying like they have to have 50 songs, yeah. But like, you know, a few, like six at least, I think would have been nice.
I mean,
even at most, six would have been nice.
No.
There's like so many different tracks, even just from Final Fantasy VII that they could have used. And I think that's...
I'm actually going to reward what I just said there. They don't owe it to us at all. We're lucky to have two.
They don't
know
anything to us at all. No.
Yeah. We're lucky to have two. And we're lucky that Cloud is actually in the game. So there, I rewarded it because...
I just wish they would have gone a little bit further with it. But yeah. Eh. But yeah, going back to...
Terry, yes. And King of Fighters.
Terry and the King of Fighters arena with the guest characters. They omitted one character. And the whole time I'm like expecting them to like drop a bomb about it, but... No, they didn't really drop a bomb. They just said, Mai Shiranui is not in the game.
I expected
Smash
it.
Smash Brothers.
I knew it. I automatically knew it. Yeah, the costume. That's...
Yeah.
That's pretty much what
costume
it comes down to.
Costume and her bounciness.
Yeah.
Well,
here's the thing. They could have gave her another costume. They just didn't want to. They actually could have gave her another costume, and they could have toned down everything. They just didn't want to.
They could have toned down everything. And they could have given her another costume. But at the same time, it's kind of like... It's... That a costume is kind of what...
That's what makes her...
What Mai is
known for. That's what makes her...
But like,
her.
That's kind of her signature look.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
and
that's...
I kind of feel going forward, It would... I think it would behoove SNK to kind of redesign Mai a little bit. So she's more palatable.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it's like, oh, no, censorship and bullshit. But it's kind of like,
I mean, she's like, the thing is that she's pretty much a fighter wearing that. And here's the thing. And here's the thing, too, with that. Because Capcom just started... learning how to redesign their cast as well, because you know Cammy's like suit does not fly really.
Well, Cammy's is a little bit different because hers is just like a leotard.
A leotard, yeah. It's
Armika's is a little bit more,
but it's wrestling attire too.
A little bit more.
Yeah,
really.
it's a little bit more. And it's wrestling attire. Like if you put two and two together, she's a wrestler. That makes sense.
Like
for a wrestler,
it does make sense. But like you know, you have. I'm trying to remember. Doesn't she have like a? I know she has like a cleavage window.
Yeah.
Doesn't
it does.
She have like a butt window as well? Like butt cleavage.
It's like a little heart.
I gotta look this up now.
I believe it's like a heart in the back. You see, I should know this off the top of my head. Huge Street Fighter fan, obviously. But yeah, just going back, to it, just with, Mai is that, Capcom just started really learning in terms of designing and just giving more options, you know. There for the character and still while having their iconic looks.
Yeah, like there's a way to like adjust a character to still look fairly similar, but redesigned enough.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like I kind of feel like SNK doesn't really care because they did release Tag Team Heroines, and the game's a little bit creepy.
Yeah, it's weird. That's a weird game. It's weird. It's weird. It's actually weirder than Dead or Alive Extreme to me.
Yeah, it's just that's all I can say. It's just and I kind of wanted to like that game, but it's just like even the gameplay isn't that
Yeah.
engaging.
Yeah, it was trash. I'm sorry, it was trash. Like looking back on it.
Like yeah, I wouldn't say it's trash, but it's just it's really meant for one purpose, and then once that purpose is met, that's it. There really isn't anything else to it. But yeah, it's kind of very much whatever. But yeah, I mean, I would like to see, SNK try to redesign stuff. Like even, I mean, 'cause hell, they've redesigned Yori. What in Street Fighter? Not Street Fighter. King of Fighters. What 2002?
Yeah, I
Was when
would
they
say,
redesigned Iori and Kyo?
yeah, I think it's
Or maybe
2002
just
or
Kyo.
2001. Or it might have been
So it's
2000.
kind of like,
So one of those three.
So yeah, it's like, they're okay with redesigning him. Obviously, they'd redesign Terry Fugaro, even though he's supposed to be older. But like, it would be nice to like, have them redesign the characters a little bit more. When fucking Tecmo Koei can like tone down Dead or Alive a little bit, SNK can kind of tone down some characters in King of Fighters a little bit.
And it's so crazy, like this whole like I guess controversy over it or whatever that's going on with like Mai not being included. It's not controversy because it's just already, she's just excluded because of those reasons there. It's so crazy that they could create a tasteful Terry Bogard, growing up design. They still haven't created something for Mai.
Yeah.
So.
It's a little weird. Alrighty. Let us go into the next topic, Death Stranding, which has officially gotten a PC release, which has been rumored for like a while now.
Yeah, it's not exclusive anymore for PS4.
Well, it's still console exclusive, which is such a whatever. But it is releasing in 2020 on the PC by 505 Games, which is great. It's always good to see, I guess, more platforms have more games.
Well, in this case, because it's, again, this is just Death Stranding is something made by Kojima and pretty much gave him his freedom on what to do with the game. So I get that. I get that it's releasing on PC. That's definitely
Well,
awesome.
considering, like, yeah, and the thing, the not the weird thing, but the different thing about it is, since it's using I guess a proprietary
Terry,
Sony engine,
yeah.
it's kind of
The Decima
different
engine,
and
yes.
weird.
Yeah,
So
so I guess we don't know
that'd
what
be
to
kind of
expect.
interesting.
Yeah, we don't know what to expect on how it's geared towards a PC in terms of like, modding it and what's the highest visual peak, I guess. I mean, what we saw from Horizon, it's awesome. In HDR, like it's just pure awesome. So yeah, it's definitely one of those engines that are, well, one of the best looking engines, honestly. Horizon is amazing to look at in HDR. So imagine that amplified on the PC, already looking, amazing on the PS4, on base PS4 and PS4 Pro. So that's definitely something there that, you know, that's gonna be like, yeah, like you said, it's just gonna be like weird to see a proprietary engine like that on the PC. Now, I know one thing you mentioned there in regards to like getting games onto more platforms. Now, here's what I think about like that, because I feel like this in this case for this game, this game is, we don't know yet if the IP is actually owned by Kojima, but this is like Kojima's baby, and you know, Sony just gave him free reign to go ahead and do it the way he wanted to do it, and release it where he wanted to release it. Obviously, he's not going to release it on the Xbox Xbox One, because that wasn't a part of the contract. Yeah. But yeah, just in terms of like getting games into other platforms, you see, I get that for this title, but in terms of other Sony exclusives, I actually don't get. Now the reason why I say that, and I'm not at all anti-consumer. I'm all for being able to, you know, to go ahead and put it on whatever console if it was a third-party game. In this case, I actually prefer exclusives to be exclusives. That's what actually makes a difference between consoles and PCs and consoles from each other's consoles. Like, to be honest, if Sony didn't release their games on PC, it just makes their console more attractive. So I get the point there of being able to be played on more consoles, but then the console itself loses its charm. Might as well just make one system, the PC, and just have Sony be a publisher.
True. Like I legitimately had something to add, but like, my brain just stopped, so I got nothing.
And that's the thing, like, I get everyone, like, trying to say, oh, let's, I want it to release here, I want it to release there, but there's certain just exclusives that a console does need to have to be different, because at the end of the day, we're paying all for different experiences. So if all of the consoles and everything had the same games, what's the point? What are we buying into? You know, nothing becomes unique anymore, and then again, it'll become into a thing where we go into this one console future, where things get worse in a one console future. That's just the way I see it for further down the line. And
I don't think we'd ever get down to just a one console future. Like, I feel like there'll always be at least two.
Or one account future. So. So yeah,
maybe.
And that
I could see Microsoft kind of doing that.
And that's worse for consumers. And that's definitely worse. So no one's competing with each other. So I'm all for, you know, the games being played there on different consoles of their third party games. For sure. Get them ported over. But if a company is paying for that third party game in terms of development, well, fuck it. Like, you know, they own the freaking thing. They own the actual rights or publishing rights to it. So yeah, so I personally dislike my exclusives being exclusives. Death Stranding's case, again, they gave Kojima all the free will he wanted in that case.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm super stoked for Death Stranding. And I'm excited to, again, I'm excited to see how it's going to be modded on PC. But I'm like super, super stoked, just to, play it, here tomorrow. So yeah, because I think it's going to be, again, one of those games where, and I know we talked about this before, where you either love it or hate it, but if you do love it, it's going to be very, very special. In that sense, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess, like, a quick last minute addition. Speaking of, like, games on multiple platforms, EA is now back on Steam. And they're releasing Jedi Fallen Order? Yeah, I think it's called. On Steam. Of course, in addition to Origin and stuff, but I'm kind of surprised. I expected like older games to show up first, like maybe not even like super old games, but like Need for Speed 2015 and stuff like that. I didn't actually expect them to jump in with both feet with like a big Star Wars release. I think that's like pretty cool.
Yep, and I guess we could move on for Death Stranding, and I'll have more impressions on it next week, for sure. We're gonna see how this goes. You know, every the people that did get their early review copies, again, the game is pretty much love it or hate it, and yeah, you'll hear from me exactly what I think about it. And I think this is gonna be one of those games that's gonna be special for me, just of what's been communicated by Kojima and just many things I've read on people who did play it, who did get those early review copies. Yeah, we weren't able to get one, but the people that did get early review copies, they did go ahead and emphasize just specific things about the gameplay there, where I feel like this could be the game here that I'm waiting for in terms of an open world game, because I really don't like open world games because there's a lot of things that don't matter, and this might be a game that makes everything matter in regards to traversing and it being so open. So that's why I'm excited about Death Stranding, and you'll hear more about it next week here when I'll, you know, when I'm actually sat down and then get to play it here, and yeah, you'll hear everything. So can't wait for that one. So we'll be chiming in on that next week. And another thing here, I guess the next topic we'll go straight into it is Apple Arcade. Yes, yeah, so it finally released. We talked about it before, and it's finally here. And do you think it's worth the price?
I think it's gonna be for a case-to-case basis, because I can't say definitively like, yeah, it's worth it, but I can't say it's not. I feel like if you do a lot of traveling, you have a lot of downtime where like you don't have access to certain things, I think it's a good thing, because it seems like it's a fairly, so far, a decent selection of games. I don't know how often they're going to be adding more games and stuff like that. But it seemed like, pretty high quality games and experiences. Ugh, experiences.
The Death Stranding talk.
I know. But, like, for me, it was just like a small handful of games I wanted to play or I was interested in. Other than that, I just stopped. I just didn't. I just had it for like a month, played a little bit, and then that was it. Like, it's not, for me, I don't find it necessary. And I probably would if I did a lot more traveling. I spent time like on public transportation or things like that, or spent some time, a lot of time outside. I probably would, but it's just not what I'm interested in at the moment. And I can kind of say more or less the same thing with Game Pass. I mean, really the only thing that's kind of kept me subscribed for the last few months was Gears 5, and then I have Outer Worlds, which I need to get to at some point, but it's just not, something I'm kind of gonna keep on subscribing to it, because it's just like there's not too much. It's either games I already have or games I'm just not interested in.
Well, the thing for me, I remember we were talking about it when Apple Arcade was announced, that the pricing, and you know, they finally got the we finally got the price is $5.99. to me,
which is actually pretty good. Yeah. The pricing is actually really, really good.
It is, and I think it's worth the price, to be honest with you. And I was a big doubter on how Apple would do this. Just with the pricing and just with like the game quality. And yeah, I found a few games there that I still play regularly. The game that I was most interested in was Sayonara Wild Hearts. That's actually there, and you could play it with a control. Mm-hmm. Like, you could play all the games there with your DualShock. Well, majority of the games with your DualShock there. You can connect it to your Xbox One control, so you could connect it to all these to all the controls that you need. I have an iPad Pro 12.9-inch, so definitely, you know, the screen was perfect size there. I thought everything ran smoothly. I thought everything was done smoothly. Like, I tried the new Frogger game. I thought that was fun for a bit. Again, bits and pieces there for mobile gaming. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And the quality of the games too, just in presentation of a lot of these games are great. I think it's worth the money there if you're like, again, like you mentioned, if you travel a lot there and you don't bring your consoles but you have your phone. This makes sense because it's there's still a lot of like fresh games there for you to actually like check out and be current with. And there's a lot of like hidden gems there too. That you just might like. And again, paying that subscription fee, you're pretty much get to try it all. I think it's worth it. It makes sense because of the way, I guess, some people play mobile games. Like, you know, it's either with mobile games is that you're either hooked onto it for so much that you don't play any other games for a while, or you just keep like swapping to different games each and every time. So yeah, it works perfectly there just because of the variety of actual polished titles that are in Apple Arcade. So I think I feel like it works better on a mobile device than on a system.
I think it's good on both, but it comes down to intent and selection. Like, something like a mobile device is fine if it's a lot of, you know, short, quick bursts. And that kind of experience doesn't necessarily translate well to consoles when you want, you know, something more meaty and something generally longer or something you could probably spend, like, a little while on. So I think it can work. It's just it depends on the content available.
Yeah, but Apple did a good job there with the price. That I give them, and that's what I was doubting most, I think. And then comes down to the quality of games, but I definitely think it's one of those things like you mentioned too, where it's, you know, if you're traveling, this would be a perfect companion for newer titles as well as hidden gems too.
Alrighty, and well, I guess the last two topics, we'll combine them since they both happened at the same time. BlizzCon was last weekend, and it was only a partial clusterfuck.
Partial, yes.
Partial. So we'll just, even though Free Hong Kong, fuck Blizzard, we will just kind of focus on their games that they announced, I guess. And I guess we'll start off with Diablo 4, which they just showed. Well, they had a cinematic, and they showed off some gameplay. I guess we'll talk about the cinematic first.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a big thing.
Blizzard does great with cinematics. Like,
it's just fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, it's like out of this world. The cinematics that they do make. just very, very impressed with the cinematic, not impressed with the actual gameplay. Like for Diablo 4, not impressed with the gameplay.
There's certain things in the cinematic that I kind of found troubling. But one thing I kind of liked, and I don't know if it was intentional or not. One thing is, I remember hearing rumors of the leaks, like, right before, that it was dark and gritty, which always makes me roll my eyes, because not everything needs to be, quote-unquote, dark and gritty. I thought Diablo 3 was fine. It was very oppressive, and I kind of like that feeling of oppressiveness in terms of, like, what I feel is, like, a proper dark game. Like, oppressive and just, like, you know, the game's world, like, you know, weighing you down.
Batman versus Superman, oppressive. That's Edgelord oppressive.
That's not even, it's trying to be, yeah, like, dark and gritty and shit. But anyway, I was a little bit like, I don't know about this when I heard about it. And it was fine. I was expecting, like, lots of very dark, like, kind of like how the 360 generation started out with, like, lots of bloom and, like, everything was fucking brown and dark. I was kind of expecting that again, but it was fine. It was a little bit dark in terms of, like, overall visuals. Would have preferred a little bit more saturation. But one thing I really liked about the cinematic trailer, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, is, you know, at the end, the three guys get sacrificed, but they're all upside down, and between them, like, the gate opens up with their blood. God, this sounds so weird saying it out loud. And Lilith comes through, and I kind of like how they're upside down, so they can actually, like, I'm sure they're dead, but, like, it, you know, symbolizing them seeing Lilith, like, ascend into this realm was kind of cool. Like, I like that touch. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but I kind of like that. As far as the gameplay itself is fine. It's kind of hard to get too excited because it's one of those games for me where, like, I can see videos and just it's not impressive, but it's more of a hands-on type of thing. I just really hope that they at least offer an option for controllers on the PC from the beginning, because clearly, like, they reworked the game for consoles, like, later, but they didn't add that in to the PC version, which would have been nice. But yeah, it looks fine. The classes were what, warrior, mage, and something else.
Paladin?
A barbarian, sorceress, and druid.
Druid. Okay.
Yeah. So kind of would have liked 4, but it's fine. I like 3 had, like, witch hunter, I think. It had barbarian, monk, and necromancer.
But necromancer was the add-on.
No, necromancer was the add-on. Yeah. Yes. No, it had witch doctor, demon hunter, and monk and barbarian, I think, were the ones originally. Necromancer was added in a pack towards the end. Crusader and Witch Doctor, I think, were added with the first expansion. So yeah, I was kind of hoping for, like, a fourth one. I mean, there's still time. I'm not expecting this shit to come out till, like, maybe 2022. They're definitely gonna take their time with it. But yeah, it looks fine. I don't like the quote-unquote in-game cutscene that they showed, because that looked terrible.
I mean, you see, that's the thing with those cinematics, trailers, is that they look so good. And then going, like, for me, like, the drop in hype for me was like, the cinematic was so good, and then you show me the gameplay, it's like, same thing. It just felt like a point of defeat for me, because I'm like, same thing. There's like literally nothing here that, you know, is different. I did notice pretty much destructible like environments, like they have more physics to them. So I did notice that
There's that, and the levels are more open. Point where you need a mount, which I fucking hate. I don't want that at all. I don't like how they're big, and because I already in Diablo 3, like a lot, some of the levels were pretty bland. Like there wasn't much to them. They were just like an empty desert. And I don't like that idea of it being bigger, so they need mounts. I'm like, I don't fucking want mounts. I want it streamlined. You know, it needs to be. You want to replay Diablo, that's kind of the point. Replay it with better gear, and if it takes forever to get to places, fuck that so much.
Well, that's a definitely, we will see how they use these mounts. Like, you know, that's hard to tell, because they could just have the mounts there just for like short distances.
But yeah, like in terms of like the actual gameplay, so, like it's hard to tell. Like right more now. Of the same. Like that's the way I like Diablo. Like specifically, it kind of like that. I like that style. It's kind of what I was.
It's definitely hard to tell.
Kind of the same reason I like the Igea Vanias.
Again, it's like you mentioned. It's definitely a game you have to play and feel. Like, this is one of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they could show us everything in the world, but it might look, eh. So, definitely, yeah. this is one of those games. But the other game we're going to talk about is not one of those games. The other game just looks amazing all around, and that is Overwatch 2.
No. Just no. Like, I mean, it's fine. This, it's just how they're handling it is, I find, very weird.
Oh, we're gonna go straight into that because, you know,
yeah, well,
I was gonna mention it, but we're going straight into it. So
before we do that, let's just talk about the cinematic first, because like we do with Diablo. Yeah. The beginning of the cinematic I found incredibly cheesy and cringeworthy.
Oh my god. So much what I was thinking there. That's exactly what I was thinking. It was so corny at the beginning.
They're trying to drum up all this like fake, like, you know, emotion, you know, how Winston misses. And the thing is, like, it doesn't really work for a sequel after we have had Winston interacting with like the former Overwatch members. I mean, technically, and the weird thing is, like, it's the sequel to Overwatch 1, but a lot of it is, like, there's building the story, because it's, like, May kind of learning how to be in Overwatch with Winston and Tracer, but it's kind of like they've interacted several times before. Sure, not officially, I guess, but it's just weird.
Okay, so it's the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift of the series.
Not everything is Tokyo Drift.
or it's the Street Fighter. Secondly, so it's the Street Fighter Third Strike on this series.
Well, I think it's more because like Overwatch 1 didn't really, like, it didn't have like a story. It felt more nebulous, kind of like you had, you know, characters, and then, you know, they had characters like doing stuff, and obviously there was a backstory and stuff like that. And like I read some of like the comics, but I didn't really read too much. So I don't know the full backstory of everything. But it just seems weird, like, you had like this nebulous entity in terms of narrative for Overwatch 1, and then Overwatch 2, a very specific through line with the narrative. Like, again, May's joining, so it's like, you know, Overwatch teams coming together. And then when everyone started showing up, I just kind of, like, I was like, alright, fine. Cool, I guess. I did like the Genji redesign. I thought it was weird that he was the only one that had a redesign and no one else did. But whatever. Although I there was a few points when I kind of loved, like, obviously when Mercy showed up, because I fucking love Mercy, but whatever. When Genji did his ultimate, like, I got chills, and I don't really know why. I guess it was just a cool moment. Plus, when that happened, like, I kind of was a little bit, I don't want to say paranoid, but, like, my first instinct was to look around. I've played a little bit too much Overwatch to the point where I hear that and I'm just like, fuck, where's he? Just to kind of move out of the way. But yeah, like, the cinematic, I mean, visually was, well done.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, it was fucking great. Blizzard.
Yeah, yeah. It was, the cinematic looked so good. The beginning was corny, you see, for me. Like you said, it was cringeworthy. The beginning was cringeworthy to me. But as it went on, I'm like, okay, I'm starting to warm up to this. This, I could watch a whole freaking show on just this, or a movie.
Yeah, and that's how it was with, like, the shorts. When they were like kind of slowly releasing the shorts for Overwatch 1. Like, I would love to watch, like, a full thing like that. It's just like, now with the sequel, it just feels weird to introduce characters to each other or set up, like, basics.
Again, it's
when,
the Tokyo
again,
Drift.
They've kind of interacted. And I kind of wonder if, because they introduced Nullsec, which is Null Sector, which are robots. And I don't know the story of them too much, so I don't know if they're related to Blackwatch. Whatever, like, the evil team is. Or if they're just their own thing, so that way the, because there's villains. Overwatch has villains, but I feel like at this point, they aren't as much villains anymore, and they're more just, like, anti-heroes. I don't know.
You're talking about Talon. Yeah.
Talon, there we go. Yeah, yeah. Because, like, you have, like, Reaper, you have Black Widow, and, like, those characters and stuff, but are they going to be the villains in the story? Or are they just going to kind of do their own stuff on the side? That's weird. And it's going to have, like, PvE, so obviously you're probably going to be able to select. Unless they limit characters, like, in the story mode.
I doubt it.
You're probably going to be able to select. Yeah, you're probably going to be able to select, like, different characters. Like, so you're probably going to have, like, you know, Black Widow and,
this is
Doomfist and, like, other characters, like, you know.
To me, it sounds like it's just a complete reboot of just the whole story, just in general. That's what they're pretty much doing.
It feels, like I said, I don't want to say necessarily a reboot, because it feels like they set up stuff with Overwatch 1, but Overwatch 1 was more nebulous, like, and they kind of just, like, pulled things to the point where it didn't make sense. But now they have to kind of salvage that and push forward a story.
That's just like Street Fighter V, which is, it's just the same exact thing, where they don't acknowledge.
I feel like there was
Third Strike.
Well, Third Strike takes place after 5.
Yeah, and Overwatch 2 takes place.
And it did seem like they were kind of hinting at something. Well, with Street Fighter V, in terms of, like, hinting at the future. With this, it just feels weird.
Yeah, there's just no future because they haven't been made. Yeah.
But I do like how because then one thing I was worried about was, like, I wouldn't have gotten Overwatch 2 if, like, my stuff from Overwatch 1 didn't transfer over. Because there's no way in hell I'm going to spend more money to possibly get a chance to get, like, Witch Mercy and like, and the Pink Mercy that I bought. It's like, I want my shit to transfer over. And luckily that stuff is. The cosmetics and stuff is.
Well, yeah, that's the thing about Overwatch 2, because I guess I'm just going to go straight into it. What is Overwatch 2 exactly? Is this a expansion or a true sequel? Because again, Overwatch, you could still play Overwatch PvP, and it's pretty much Overwatch 1.
Yeah, they specifically said that Overwatch 2 PvP players can play with Overwatch 1 players.
And even though Overwatch 2 has a new actual graphic engine, if I got that correctly here, because the game does look a little souped up.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily say an engine, but they probably were able to work on some stuff in terms of under the hood. I mean, it has been, what, like, when did it come out, 2015 or 16?
I think it was 2015, and I want to do a search here for it. my gaming encyclopedia is not working today. Look,
you, 2016.
Yes, 2016.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I mean, yeah, they definitely have time to put more into it. But then again, this all comes back to, is this really a sequel or just a patch for Overwatch 1?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a patch. It seems like what it was intended to be was an expansion pack. Like, it seems like it was going to be like a big kind of update. But from what I understand, like, they had so much stuff that they wanted to do, they just said screw it, and they made it its own game. Kind of like how Saints Row 4 happened. It was supposed to be an expansion to 3, but it just kind of ballooned, and they're like, yeah, well, let's release it as its own thing. That's kind of what happened. I feel like that's kind of what they're doing with Overwatch 2.
And Overwatch 2 is free, right?
Is it?
Aha! Yeah, you see, because that's the thing, because they're messaging for this title, like, I haven't got any information.
I will say that is true. Like, the messaging for this game is fucking weird. Like, they don't want to, I don't know, it's just really, really weird.
And the reason,
I don't think it's free.
Yeah, and the reason why I mentioned it, because it's exactly that. It's like, okay, so is this an expansion or is this a true sequel, and how much is it? Because I feel like you said, it's an expansion that ballooned itself. But I think this whole Overwatch 2 thing is actually a reaction towards Fortnite Chapter 2. If that makes any sense.
I don't think it's honestly, I feel like it might be the other way around, because there's been rumors and stuff about Overwatch 2 for a little while now. It wouldn't surprise me if Epic kind of knew about it and they're like, all right, well, we got to push forward with Fortnite. Because I don't... Yeah, I could say it. I feel like Fortnite is bigger than Overwatch. But I don't think Overwatch is ever going to hit the heights of Fortnite. I feel like it has a dedicated base. And like, you'll have a few people who kind of will, you know, do a little bit of different stuff. They'll probably, you know, play Fortnite. They'll play Overwatch. But I don't think there's gonna, like, this, like, Overwatch 2 is in response to Fortnite Chapter 2. I just think it's its own thing, and I think it's one of those, to quote Mad TV, sequels sell better. So I think that's kind of what this is. And I'm sure if it was a patch, you'd have less people interested in it than if it was a sequel. Because if it's a sequel, you'll probably have people who stop playing, be like, oh, I wonder what it's like. Or yeah, if it was like a patch or an update, they're like, yeah, fuck it, I don't really care. Yeah, I don't play it anymore.
It's just very conflicting here, and just in terms of what it is in that sense. If it is, it's leaning for me towards a actual separate game, but we will actually see, because I still feel like they didn't give enough information. Like, you know, they could say it's a separate game, but, you know, you might get a discount from it if you own Overwatch 1. So it's kind of just weird messaging towards it. It's definitely one of the weirdest sort of announcements for a title. Just very odd. Just how this is going to be released, and again, I feel like it was reactionary towards Fortnite Chapter 2 and how the game is ever evolving. And Overwatch is evolving, you know, it updates constantly, but this is PvE is a whole new thing for Overwatch. So it's going to be interesting just learning more over time.
Yeah, I could see maybe them setting up Overwatch 2 as, I guess, laying the foundation in terms of, like, being able to add more stuff. Since, you know, they have PvE now, maybe they'll be doing, like, story packs and stuff. Or dropping new story things as time progresses, which they can't really do as well in Overwatch 1, things like that. But yeah, no, obviously the game doesn't come out for at least a year. So I guess maybe they'll kind of get back on the ball with in terms of branding and like messaging, because it just feels messy. The whole thing feels messy.
Yeah, so that's gonna be interesting to see how it all plays out. And this is something where we'll definitely see in the quality of the game, I feel. So yeah, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. Yeah, and I guess that's it for today's show. So yeah, we're ready to close the floodgates here. Yeah, so that's all we had here. Yes, tune into us next week. We are gonna be recording here next week, so tune into us next week here. We'll have more on Death Stranding and some other things going on here in the game world. And yeah, definitely like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and also subscribe to us on iTunes and Spotify and Google Play stores. We're practically everywhere. So definitely go ahead and give us a follow there and subscribe, so you're up to date there on when the actual episodes go up, instead of having to go on the site. But you can always go on the site there to catch the podcast. So definitely check that out here. And yeah, and I guess that's it here. We're closing the gates. All right, and see ya.
Catch you on the flip side.